Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word.
Look up good in the dictionary. It's got a picture of those two. I'm telling you. Wow-wee. Oh, man. Thank you. Well, I'm all discombobulated after bopping around with that.
So there is this wonderful thing that God does. He makes the Christian family like the test case for the rest of the world to see. You're going to come out with a product, you want to sell it to the world, you got to set up a test case to make sure it works. And there's no place like the Christian family to show that it's true, that what Jesus has said is true. It all begins with a man and a woman who devote their lives to each other. Lady, are you crying? Do the tears belong to me?
was all gone. Lady, you've been dreaming. I'm as close as I can be, and I swear to you, our time has just begun. So close your eyes and rest your weary mind. I promise that I'll stay right here beside you.
Let's open our Bibles, going with our theme, to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's pray together before we read the scriptures. Let's pray together. Father, the scriptures have been in our hands as a group for 2,000 years. And this portion of the Bible have been read so many times. We've heard it so many times, but you are the God that makes everything new. Would you take this and apply it to our lives today and help us? And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul says, "And now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have the faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. And it always perseveres. Love never fails. Isn't that a great portion of scripture, you guys? And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Aren't you astounded every time you read that section, things pop into your brain where you do not do what this says? That our love for one another is still not what it should be. God is always working on us, always changing us. Do you know love changed 2,000 years ago? Love changed 2,000 years ago. When we talk about love, we have one word because we're from the English, right? Well, you might not be English. I'm from the English. And English people, when they talk about love, they only have one word for it, just love, right? Well, that changed 2,000 years ago in the writing of the Bible. Our language came from those people that are stodgy, and they keep the firm upper lip, right? You don't show any emotion about anything. That's the English, right? I mean, they just so little emotion. You ever try to tell a joke to an Englishman? Man, usually they're offended. You know, they don't get it. Somebody said, how do you keep an Englishman entertained in his old age? Tell him a joke in his youth. He'll get it by then, is what I mean. Yeah, there you go. Well, you know, I come from a family of English. Now, first of all, the name Hampton is English, but we were filtered through the crazy hillbilliness of Missouri. So we kind of lost that, and they're all nuts. And I'm one of those crazy hillbillies. But that's right. That's right. Nothing wrong with that. But my mom's side of the family, the Price side of the family, they never lost their Englishness. They lost the accent. But, I mean, these people, whew. I tell you what, my grandfather Price and my grandma Price were two of the finest people I ever knew. And my dad says to this day, he can't remember what day it is. He's not always sure if I'm his son or his uncle, but he remembers Mom and Dad Price. And he said the other day, the greatest love story that there ever was. The love and respect of those two was beautiful. But they were English. And if you wanted to die from boredom, go to their house when you're a kid. You know what my grandma used to do? To let grandpa know that dinner was coming if she was behind. She'd set the table like 2 hours before dinner. And she would also pour the whole milk 2 hours before dinner. Did you ever try choking that stuff down warm? It is not a good thing. And she would do that. And I remember grandpa used to sleep with his eyes open. He'd take a nap and he would still have his eyes open and be going. And my grandpa always had a box of candy. That was the one good thing. But if he's sleeping by the candy and you want a second piece and you're only supposed to have one to not ruin your dinner, and he's sleeping, you don't know if he's really sleeping or if he's watching you with doing that. So you'd have to sneak the other piece. They're funny. So my mother was raised in that great tradition. And you know how she handled stuff that was uncomfortable? We don't talk about that. That's what she used to say. And then something happened. A Greek moved into the Hampton/Price family. This Greek woman that talks about everything and doesn't let anything go. I mean, you just talk about it. That's what you do. You've seen big fat Greek wedding. I married that. Okay. I married that. Grandpa Zachas, he loved me because at the time I was in seminary studying Greek.
Oh, you study Greek, boy. You come. I show you, boy. I show you. Oh, we were
best friends after that, sort of. But he was a tough old dude, man. People talk about everything. I talk about embarrassed. Talk about uncomfortable. I mean, that was not easy. So it's really interesting. Debbie worked with my mom for almost 40 years of knowing my mom, and my mom finally would start saying what she really thought. And then we wanted her to be quiet, but she wouldn't be. But the English, you know, so they have no emotive words when they say love. That's it. Love. That's it. Well, the thing about the Greeks, you know, they're a very emotional group. They had all kinds of words for love. They had all kinds of them, you know. Compare those two families from that movie, Big Fat Greek Wedding. The Portokalos family. We are the Portokalos family. And then, you know, the girl in the movie is marrying some boy from the Miller family. These little mouse people that don't... The comparison, I'm telling you, that's the Hampton and the Zacchaeus thing right there. I'm telling you. We laughed at that movie like crazy. But the Greeks, man, they've got words for love. They've got a word, eros, that they use for the word love, and it means sexual love. It means physical, touching love expression that way. And it's by the way, do you ever know the first sexual thought ever thought was thought by God? He invented this stuff. He did a really good job, didn't he? What is, I'm sorry to say it. God was the first one to have the first sexual thought. He invented this. Since he invented this, he knows why it was invented and what the parameters of that is. So, if we're going to use this type of love properly, we've got to go back to him to understand why it exists and what it's for. Now, that's what the world has trouble with, because we just want to run crazy with all things. But, hey, he invented it. I've told you before, one of the best things we ever did when we built our old house was 30 years ago this last April we moved in. Some of you here helped us move into that house. Gary, you dug the basement for me over there. Isn't that something? 30 years. The best thing we put in it, though, was a fireplace, which we had been using, you know, every other day this week, you know, 85-45, 85-45. Oh, it's living in Michigan. That fireplace is wonderful. I love having fires. And there is a place designed for that fire where everything is safe so that it warms the house. But if you take that fire and build it in the middle of the living room, that whole place is going to burn down. It's going to be disaster. The sexual expression was designed by God to be kept where he designed it to be kept. And if it's pulled out of that into any other area of our lives, the whole world burns down. So that's their first word. By the way, the word eros is never used. Thank you, Doc. Is never used in the Bible. The word eros is not used in the Bible. The whole sexual love is explained perfectly in the Bible, but that word is never used. But there is another word the Greeks have for love, phileo, and it, you know, Philadelphia, brotherly love. That's where we get that word from. And this is when you enjoy somebody's company. I mean, I got buddies all over the place, and usually it's if you have an interest. I have a friend of mine, talk about different lives. I have this Amish friend, Dan, who lives in Ohio. And he won't even let me give him a ride home. He's got to ride his bicycle 5 miles to his house. Last time I saw him, time before last was in a snowstorm. Oh, no, I've got to close the shop. I've got to get out of here. I got to ride my bike home. I said, well, put it on my rack. I'll drive. No, I'll ride my bike. Thanks. I mean, can't be different, but we have the same love of woodworking. And because of that, we've become really good friends. Brotherly love, though, we get this connection to others. And we have things in common, and that's a wonderful thing. You got, if you take your kids to soccer, there's other moms and dads there, and you guys connect and make friendships for life out of all of that. And that kind of brotherly love, the community love, is a beautiful thing. It's beautiful. But when the Bible came to describing, when the Holy Spirit was working in the lives of those men who wrote the Bible, they borrowed a word that was almost never used in the Greek language, but it was a word for love called agape. And this is the word that's used in the Bible. When God describes love, his kind of love, he uses this word, agape. And here in 1 Corinthians 13 and in other places in reference to us, it's used agape, God's kind of love. And it's a love that always has the other's best in mind. It isn't just an attraction physically. It's not just something we have in common. It's a love that is supernatural. God has a love for us, for our best. And it's not a feeling, but it's a decision that we make to care for somebody else. Like, for instance, you remember the most famous verse in the Bible, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. That's an amazing, amazing verse in the Bible. Incredible statement. But I want you to see something. God did not like the world. It said God so loved the world. If you read the Bible, he intensely disliked the human race. He intensely disliked what we had become. In fact, at one point in the Bible, it says the Lord regretted that he had made man. Whew! That doesn't sound like warm fuzzies to me, does it to you? No, it doesn't. But God has this kind of love that has your best in mind. And he chose to send his own son to clear up this mess by dying on a cross and being resurrected from the dead. That is incredible, incredible love. His love caused him to decide to do for us what we needed that only he could do. Now, the Bible tells us that whoever who has put their trust in Jesus, believe that he was the Savior, that he was crucified for us, buried and resurrected from the dead. If you believe in your heart, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You are a child of God. You are born into God's family at that time. Now, when that happens, Jesus promised that he would send us the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one. God himself has moved into you. He is there within you. And he's going to give you this ability. Let's look at a couple of verses of scripture. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. Listen to this, you guys. To me, this is just life-changing. He's making a statement about going through a difficult time in our lives and having perseverance that's produced and character and hope. And verse 5 says, and hope does not disappoint us. Now listen to this. Because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. He has promised that he would give to us his Holy Spirit. And his Holy Spirit would put within us this ability to love others the way he loves us. So in all of it, God wants you to learn. I'm telling you, God changed what love meant when Jesus came here. And by taking it on yourself, it will change your world. It'll change your life. Those around you need love, God's kind of love. They're dying for it. And we have had it given to us by the Holy Spirit. It's there. It's a tool in your toolbox. It's a weapon in your arsenal that you can use in the lives of others because they so desperately need you to look beyond the problem and beyond the failing. Isn't it interesting how we always think what others aren't doing for us? Let's talk about families. It's always about, well, she's not doing this for me, or he doesn't understand that. And we really get on one another about this because we have all these expectations. Do you know God wants us to view it differently? It's not what am I not getting, it's what does she need? Take that thing out for a test drive. Go ahead. Put it in gear in your life and take that out for a test drive. It will change your relationships. It'll change your life. Be the change, somebody says, right? That's a pretty good statement. You want to change your world? Look in the mirror. Change the way you're operating. You have the power to do it. God has given it to you by his Holy Spirit. What really rings somebody's bell? You know what rings Debbie's bell? If I will stop and turn off my cell phone and sit down and have a conversation with her and listen to her. Hamptons don't listen well. I don't mean to do that to you guys either. When we're talking a lot of times, you'll find me looking over your shoulder all of a sudden because something's going on that's in my head and all that stuff. You know, I'm really trying to get over this. But that's what really Debbie needs. She doesn't need a lot. She just needs somebody who will listen. Just listen to me. Take this seriously when I'm telling you. I don't want you to fix anything. Just listen to me. You want to know what rings? One of my buddies, when it rings a bell for my buddy. When his wife does anything for him, this act of service kind of thing, woo! I mean, it lights him up. His favorite thing is to be driving their motorhome. and her go in the back of the motorhome and make him a sandwich and bring it to him. You think she gave him $1 million. Man, we were out in the motorhome driving up north, and boy, she went in the back and made me a sandwich. I'm going, yeah? You thought it was $1 million? Listen, your loved ones around you, they have a love language. Find out what it is. We're so concerned with our own. You want to be loved? Then learn to love. You want to have life? Give yours away. It'll absolutely change your life. And by the way, it'll also change your world. Our world needs real love. Our world needs us to show them what love really is. And it will change our world. Do you know the Western world came into being because of a thing called the Reformation, when God turned Europe upside down? And then America, the colonies were founded, and the Great Awakening happened, and the teachings and those who followed Jesus built the Western world. They're the ones that developed medicine. Those are the founders of modern science. University, education, public education, incredible things the people of God did because they loved their world. Jesus tells us to be in the world but not of the world. There's two tensions. We're told to be in the world, world affirming, and at the same time be world rejecting, not be part of it. No, this isn't my home. My home's in heaven. I am a citizen of heaven, not here. And so we do both of those things. We love the world in which we are in. We help those. We love the people around us. We do what's best for them. And at the same time, when things go wrong, when things are going sideways and sinfully, we step back and say, no, I'm sorry. I'm not going to have any part of that. And that, the world stands up and takes notice, but it takes courage to love God's way in this world. The courage of Franklin Graham, who's taking incredible heat from all over the place, because Franklin Graham has stood up for biblical morals in the midst of a presidential election. He felt it a calling from God, and he had to do it, and he did. And man, has he taken the heat for it. But you see, it takes courage to do that. It takes courage to say no to yourself and yes to others. It's inside of you. You have everything you need. All you have to do is summon it and do it. And the Spirit of God will do his great work in your life. Love. Agape. It's a beautiful thing. Let's stand together to pray. Come on, pray with me. Lord, thank you for your word and for our time together here today. Would you help us, Lord? Lord, I am so self-centered. I'm really not very others-centered, and I really need your help. I thank you that you care for us and you meet all of our needs. And I thank you that when the disciples were handing out bread that you were producing to feed 5,000, and they didn't think there would be enough. At the end, they each had a full basket of bread. You give us what we need. We can trust you and give our love and devotion away too. So help us. Father, we ask that you'd continue. We know that without agape, we know eros becomes abusive. And Father, all the folks that have walked through this place for all these years, who have come out of terrible sexual abuse, Father, we ask you to transform that in the name of Jesus by the outpouring of agape from your people. And Lord, we also know that relationships are broken whenever somebody puts a footfall the wrong way and somebody gets their nose out of joint, and friendships from years and years fall apart for one silly reason. But agape doesn't let that happen, because it always protects, it always encourages. So Lord, we ask that agape would overtake our eros and our phileo, and that you would transform us as a people, keep us moving in this direction. And Lord, we know that our world has changed just one person at a time, and we can't see what you're doing with your people across the world. We remember them today, Lord, around the world who are dying for you. Those whose homes are being confiscated and their children are being taken into slavery. Oh God, we ask for your mercy on the church. We ask for your blessing on your people. Thank you for the outpouring of love that is, and we think of the wonderful organizations, Samaritan's Purse and others, that are reaching to our brothers and sisters. But bless them and help them. What reward they will have in heaven. Father, we're honored to be part of them. We ask for your blessing. Thank you for our time together today. In Jesus' name,
Amen.
Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.